You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. Our question for the day is, contamination OCD, what is the big deal about a little dirt? I am your host, Noah Laracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hi, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral and cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. I'm very excited today to talk about our topic, which is contamination OCD.
Yes, this is one of the more classic, common clusters of obsessive compulsive disorder.
And I think when most people think of OCD, they're probably thinking of contamination OCD, don't you think?
I think the media portrays a couple of the classic types of OCD. Contamination is amongst one of them. Some of the more common ones are like the checking and the repeating, which we'll go over a little bit later.
Let's talk about some of the ways in which contamination OCD shows up. What are some of the common presentations?
Well, contamination OCD usually shows up as people who are afraid of germs, afraid of illness, afraid of contracting diseases. So therefore, they would be avoiding things that could potentially be dirty, whether it's literally visible dirt or it could just be a felt sense. So feeling dirty doesn't necessarily have to be visible contamination or visible dirt on your hands or your body. It could be a feeling of sticky residue or just a feeling. It doesn't even have to be any sticky residue or anything that is tactilely contaminated. It could be just a feeling that it just feels dirty. I touched this tabletop, and even though this table doesn't look contaminated, and just because my hands doesn't feel contaminated, it just all feels wrong, and it could present in that way.
So humans, long time ago, obviously we lived in caves or lived out in the forest. There's obviously a lot of dirt around then. So is this a relatively recent phenomenon where we sort of have this fear of dirt?
No, not necessarily. I mean, contamination OCD has been around for quite some time. If we were to even remember Macbeth was compulsively washing her hands and cleansing her hand of the blood that she felt contaminated by. So contamination OCD has been around for quite some time, and we're now understanding that it's not just about dirt or visible dirt. Obviously, for anyone to have obsessive compulsive disorder, they have to understand that it's excessive and it's irrational. So to a person who doesn't have OCD, well, obviously your hands don't look dirty, and therefore why would you feel contaminated? Well, for OCD, there is no reason. There's no rhyme or reason. It is irrational. It is excessive. It's illogical. And for some people, it's just a felt sense that it is disgusting.
So one of the things that's very common here at Renewed Freedom Center is people come in talking about a fear of germs
yes,
everywhere. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, germs is one of the more common ones. It could be caused by people who feel that they need to just clean things and keep things tidy, and that's just as far as it goes. For some people, it could be because they don't want to contract certain diseases, such as being sick, having the flu, or something more severe, such as contracting HIV through contaminated blood. It could be any disease that you can imagine. And for example, young kids have a lot of the fear of vomiting. And therefore, partially what could result in vomiting is if you get sick. And if you're constantly interacting with other sick people or touching places where there would be a lot of germs, such as doorknobs, light switches, public bathrooms, then they feel like, well, I need to go and wash, because if I don't, then the likelihood of me getting sick is very high, and I don't want to end up being sick and vomiting, because that would be the worst thing ever. And we have a lot of kids who come in with those fears.
doctors probably wash their hands 10, 20 times a day. What's the big deal if you just wash your hands a lot?
Well, yes, and it's always hygienic. It's a hygienic practice to wash your hands, right? The problem is, yes, doctors need to wash their hands because they are often in contact with patients who are coming in because they're ill, and therefore it makes sense for them to wash their hands. However, we're talking about people who are constantly washing their hands, not just doctors, anyone who are constantly washing their hands. It could be 20 times a day, 30 times a day, 50 times a day, 100 times a day. And it gets to the point where their hands are actually raw, chapped, bloody, dry, and that would be very excessive. And I can't imagine any doctor who would wash their hands to that degree and feel that it is normal or that is within the scope of their normal practice. And that's not to say that there aren't doctors out there with OCD. There are. There are actually, I know of and have treated a few physicians with contamination OCD. However, again, it's a fine boundary. You know, when we think about OCD, it's not categorical. It's not you have it or you don't. You're washing too much or you're not. It is a boundary from that which is completely excessive and unnecessary to that which is completely non-present. So if you're never washing your hands, you'll be on the other side of the spectrum, which probably isn't very healthy either. So neither spectrum is healthy. And the goal is to be balanced somewhere in the middle.
To touch back quickly on germs. Germs as opposed to dirt are invisible to the naked eye, right? So usually one is trying to get a sense, right, of mm-hmm. the germs. So it's really sort of your head is imagining that there are germs there, right?
Yes. Well, dirt, I mean, if I go out and play in mud, I can visibly see dirt on my hands, right? If I'm dusting and now there are visible dust and dirt on my hands, I can see that. However, for people with OCD, it's usually not something that's visible. It's usually something that they just feel because it's known to be dirty. For example, using public restrooms, it's known to be dirty, and therefore it just feels dirty, even if I can't see visible dirt on my hands.
After you wash your hands, why isn't that enough? Like you'd think if you had germs on your hand, you wash, they're gone, I can then move on with my day.
Well, because the reality is that unless you're going to live in a bubble and be contained in a space where nothing goes in and nothing goes out, then you're going to be exposed to the real world. And in the real environment, there are contaminants all over the place. So therefore, if you are interacting with people, well, you never know what that person's hands have been on or what that person has been doing. And therefore, your mind will always be searching, looking for any potential dangers out there that could cause you to be sick and end up vomiting. Now, that is for kids. And I just want to say, though, do you know what is one of the most disgusting things that has more bacteria than a public toilet?
What? Tell me.
Well, it's all of these screens that we're touching. Our cell phones, they go everywhere with us. We set them down everywhere. We set them down on the floor, on tabletops. We even go to the bathroom with them and set them on counters in the bathroom or even floors on the bathroom. So our phones are actually the most contaminated item that we are constantly in contact with. Yet, do we go and wash our hands or disinfect our hands every time we use our cell phone?
No.
Do we disinfect our cell phone? I know I haven't disinfected my cell phone for a couple of months.
Mine is especially disgusting.
So, you know, we have to realize that OCD is really circumscribed depending on what we are going to be focused on. So if we're focused on that light switch, then that is all we're thinking about that's contaminated. And what's funny is that even when I speak with adults with contamination fears, and I let them know how disgusting their cell phones are, they're not inclined to not use their cell phones or avoid it because we're so attached to it. Yet they would turn on light switches with their sleeves and open doors with napkins rather than their hands.
So let's talk about some of the ways in which contamination OCD can negatively affect someone's life. We see some of the more extreme patients here. So you certainly have a lot of examples.
Yes. Well, we have patients here who would hold their urine or hold their bladder and not use public restrooms for fear of contaminated public restrooms. And therefore, it causes a whole host of medical issues with their bowel movements and their GI tract. We had a patient where it got so bad that the patient ended up vomiting because the patient was holding their bowel in and not releasing. And therefore, it came out through the other hole, through the mouth. And that was really disgusting. However, I mean, the reason why that patient didn't want to use public restrooms was initially because of a fear of vomiting. And what a strange paradox that the person still ended up vomiting. We've had patients with fear of contracting AIDS, and therefore they would need to be constantly vigilant, focused, looking for blood or anything red that may appear like blood. They will not interact with people. They will lock themselves up into their own rooms. They will search for items that are red and completely avoid things that are red, even if it has nothing to do with blood, because what happens with OCD is that it starts to generalize. It moves from one thing to the next to the next. So for example, a person could initially be afraid of blood because of HIV, and then it starts to transfer to any red spots on walls, on floors. And then it eventually transfers to any red items because red itself reminds them of blood. And therefore, the thought of being contaminated is so devastating. Remember, we talked about that nightmare that keeps replaying in a person's mind with OCD?
2 episodes ago, yes.
Well, with the person with blood contamination fears, anything red starts replaying in their mind and starts triggering the fear of being contaminated with HIV to the point where they would completely avoid anything red altogether. And then eventually, it's not just red. Well, purple is close enough to blood too, and orange is close enough to red, and therefore they start avoiding anything of those colors. And it gets to a point where a person can no longer function, can no longer interact with the world and the environment.
Let's say you took a patient who is afraid of contracting HIV, and you took them and they got a test and it came back negative. How long would that satisfy them, or would that satisfy them at all?
Oh, no, that's not how OCD works. Nothing satisfies OCD. You have to remember that OCD thrives on doubt and uncertainty. And therefore, just because you took an HIV test, well, there could be situations that you've interacted with before or right before or even after the test, and now you're still contaminated. You can't prevent that uncertainty altogether, right? And because there's always that possibility, your mind will constantly go to that what if. Well, what if I touched someone on my way out of the center taking my blood? Well, what if the needle that they used to take my blood, to test my blood, was contaminated with HIV? I mean, obviously, everyone coming in here is getting tested for HIV, and some people might have it, some people won't. And what if I just happen to be that one unlucky individual who is contaminated with a needle that has HIV on it, right? So your mind will constantly seek out those uncertainties because they're always going to be present.
And how much time during the day will these obsessions and compulsions take up of a person's life?
It varies. It depends on person to person. Of course, it could be as minimal as less than an hour a day, which if that is the case, then the OCD is very, very minimal and mild. However, it can be so severe that it takes up every waking hour of your life. So anything that is more than 8 hours a day, that is very severe.
So what is it like to live with someone who has contamination OCD?
Well, can you imagine if you have a family member who's constantly afraid of being contaminated and they're constantly seeking reassurance? Is this okay? Is that okay? Am I going to be okay? Am I safe? Am I getting sick? Do I have a fever? Can you feel my head? Do I feel warm? Do I look sick? Did I get enough water to drink? Do I look dehydrated? Is this meat okay to eat? That meat looks a little bit contaminated. That piece of chicken has a brown spot on it, and I think it's contaminated. I might get salmonella. Has this vegetable been washed? Has that fruit been washed? How many times has it been washed? Has it been washed with clean water? What kind of water was used to wash this vegetable? I still see a little piece of dirt on this cabbage. I don't think this is clean enough. It can go on and on and on. And if you don't have OCD, you might think, what the hell is wrong with you, to the person who has OCD? And you know what? This is the nightmare that replays in the person's mind. And for those of us who don't have OCD, that may seem circumstantial, like it's unsubstantiated. However, for the person with OCD, these fears are very real. The threat to their livelihood is very real, and therefore they can't help themselves to keep asking these questions. And we've had kids and even adults who have become picky eaters because they're afraid of certain foods. For example, sushi, raw foods, or any type of foods that could trigger a vomit episode or that trigger a situation where they become sick.
One objection could be, they say, Dr. Yip, I just really, really hate being sick. I just don't want to get sick. It's awful. So I'll do whatever I can to avoid being sick. What's the big deal?
There is no big deal to not wanting to be sick. I mean, I don't want to be sick. I don't think anyone wants to be sick. However, the possibility of getting sick will always be present. And if you are focusing all of your waking hours on how to prevent yourself from being sick, then are you even living your life to begin with?
No.
Right? So it's kind of like you got to balance it out. You do what you need to do to make sure, to ensure that there's less of a likelihood that you'll get sick. For example, washing your hands before you eat, washing your hands after you use the bathrooms, not touching your eyes and nose and mouth during the day. Those are some very common practices to prevent yourself from getting sick. However, again, there's a boundary. And if you are crossing that to the excessive point, then, you know, you're not really living a fulfilled life. You're living an OCD life.
So let's say someone with contamination OCD comes here to Nude Freedom Center. What is your first intervention with them? I always think this is very, very interesting. I know you have a certain set of rules that you lay down. I was hoping you could fill the audience in on what they are.
Well, I'm smiling right here, and I'm smiling because I'm sure what I'm about to say will freak the audience out. However, I want everyone to have a bit of an open mind. When we are doing exposure therapy, which is the evidence-based treatment for fears, especially OCD fears, the goal is to get the person to experience the fear in a way that is safe, and yet they can learn, they can gain feedback from that experience that, hey, this trigger, this fear, this situation actually isn't that threatening. isn't going to harm me because, hey, I'm still standing right here. So therefore, when we're doing exposures, we're not exposing a person who doesn't have OCD, and therefore we're exposing them to whatever would feel normal, such as let's touch the doorknob, let's touch the light switches, let's touch public toilets. We are exposing someone with excessive fears, and therefore we can't just expose them to what feels normal. We have to expose them to the other side of the extreme so that when they are living their daily lives, they can feel okay doing everyday normal activities, such as opening doors, opening light switches, or turning on light switches. So in the process of treatment, psychoeducation is one of the most important, because if we are teaching you everything that you need to understand about the OCD cycle and why we do exposures and why it works and how far we have to take the exposures, then you automatically understand what's at stake here if we don't push the envelope. And you will automatically understand why it's important for you to take the exposures as far as possible, so that when you are in your daily life, you are somewhere functioning within the norm. Once we do the psychoeducation part, then one of the very first things we do is we test it out. We would do common exposures to light switches and doorknobs and public faucets, and those are kind of the boring exposures for us here. We do a lot more exposures where within the first week we'll be practicing no washing. No washing for 3 to 4 days. And when I say no washing, I mean no washing. No washing even after you use the bathroom or before you eat. For some people, we do start out allowing you to wash your hands before you eat and after you use the bathroom. However, it depends on the severity on the individual. You know, our treatment here is very tailored to the specific needs of the person. We work from that point, no washing, meaning no bathing, no using hand sanitizers, no using wipes, no using soap, no using water. And after 3 days, 3 to 4 days, it's kind of like camping. You kind of get used to the dirt around you. You kind of get used to being in the outdoor. You get used to not feeling clean, right? And then that's when you can take your first shower. And after that, that is where more exposures occur. Because now that you're clean, you have to recontaminate yourself. And the goal is to test out, can you be clean within a normal range rather than really, really clean or just completely dirty? The difficult part is to be clean and yet exposing yourself to dirt randomly. We'll take people out to do exposures to the outside dirt, to whatever you find on the ground, to public dumpsters, to public restrooms. We've had to spray urine all over a person. Of course, we dilute the urine, so you're not spraying 100% concentrated urine on yourself.
Half and half.
Half and half, okay. We've had to do exposures to vomit itself. So we are literally playing with vomit for those people who are fearful of vomit. We go out and we meet a lot of people. We have a pretty high homeless population here in Southern California, so we run into them a lot and we interact with them. We don't just use them for exposures because that's not nice. We actually talk with them and ask them how their lives are, because a lot of people with contamination fears, they will avoid people who are homeless, who may even look like they are unstable, which actually brings us to emotional contamination. It's another type of contamination OCD that is less common. Have you heard about emotional contamination, Noah?
Isn't that there where you can actually catch what someone else has?
Yes, and not disease. You can catch their characteristic. So, for example, if you are afraid of people who are homeless, who are disabled, who look deformed, and you don't want to go near them because being near them, and sometimes it could get as bad as even just thinking about them, could magically cause you to become like them. Many kids actually have this, and there are adults who also have this as well. This is one of the more less common type of contamination OCD. And there's always a sense of magical thinking to emotional contamination OCD, as well as superstitions. So you feel like you'll just catch the characteristic trait of that person. And it doesn't just end at a specific person's characteristic trait. It could also be, for example, an event. The characteristic of an event or a characteristic trait of a specific location. I've worked with so many kids and young adults where they refuse to go to a certain location, for example, somewhere that feels old or somewhere that feels rural, because they don't want to take on that characteristic trait and feel that whatever that feeling is. So contamination OCD can span not just the common fear of disease and illness and germs and body fluids. However, it can go even in many directions where you're just contaminated by certain situations, certain people, certain personality traits, certain emotions. And a lot of kids, when they have emotional contamination, they will actually refuse to breathe the same air that contains that characteristic trait for fear of it contaminating their bodies with that characteristic.
For our audience, if they know someone, like a friend or a family member who appears to be suffering from contamination OCD, what should they do?
Definitely, there is a great nonprofit resource we have here. It is the International OCD Foundation. There is so much information on it. You can find therapists in your local area who has been trained and experienced in treating OCD. It's in the Find a Therapist directory on the IOCDF website. I would highly suggest you going to the annual conference that's usually in July, because the conference at the IOCDF has workshops specifically for children, for teens, for family members, for adults. So it's not just geared towards professionals, it's also geared towards sufferers of OCD. So their website is www.iocdf.org. And another organization that I would highly suggest is the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. That is also a nonprofit, and they have more information for all anxiety disorders and mood disorders. So if you have a family member who might not have contamination OCD, however, has just contamination phobia without the rest of it, then I would also contact ADAA, and their website is ADAA.org. ADAA hosts monthly webinars that are free for the public, and that is informational to educate the public about various topics such as OCD and phobias and separation anxiety and so forth and so on.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Stressless Life Podcast. You can join the discussion and find more information at thestresslesslifepodcast.com. Please write to us with questions and comments at podcast@thestresslesslife.com. Until next time, stay stressless.